all human beings. Welcome to another episode of A Braver Brand, the podcast. If we have not had a chance to meet, if this is your first episode of A Braver Brand, welcome. I'm your host, Kate K. McCarthy. Welcome to the podcast. If we haven't met, let's fix that, shall we? Reach out, say hi, let me know how you found us. And if you've been here for a while, if this is your 62nd or 63rd episode of A Braver Brand, welcome back. Thank you for being here week after week with us to share in some incredible conversations and real talk, the human experience of being a creative entrepreneur and what it is like to build a braver brand and business. This week on the podcast, y'all, I could not be more excited. My heart is just like overflowing with love and gratitude for this conversation that I'm about to share with you. It is with my friend, Brooke Lorimer. And Brooke is a little bit different than our typical guest. Brooke actually is sharing about why she closed her business. And I think it's such an important conversation to have because we never really talk about that, right? We never talk about the decision to let go of what has been before and the decision to step forward into what feels right and feels true and feels like it is the best decision for us. So Brooke was so gracious to come in and get really raw and human and honest about what it was like to let go of her previous business, which quite frankly was working well, to talk about that inner knowing of knowing that she needed to step into something bigger, what her creativity has looked like since then. And y'all, it has been really beautiful and flowing and joy-filled and really, really purposeful, and what comes next for her. I just want to thank Brooke for being so beautifully honest and for sharing her story so beautifully. It isn't easy to talk about grief and what it is like to let go and what that transition looks like, and I could not ask for a greater guest to be able to talk about this with. Just a note, there are a lot of things that we talk about in this episode that are resources for you. So make sure that you go to katekmccarthy.com/podcast to catch all the show notes, all the resources, all the links. Brooke shares about a book that she loved. She shares about her new podcast and her website. And I share about a free download that can really be helpful as a supplement to this conversation. So without further ado, here is Brooke.
Hey, Kate, how are you?
I'm so wonderful because I'm here with you. And that's like the best part. You are the last appointment I have of the day too. And it's just like the best way to end my day is a conversation with you, my friend.
Well, I feel the same way. Thank you so much.
Yay. So I've given our audience a little taste of who you are and what you're about in our intro, but because it's so much better when you tell me about who you are and what you do and what has landed you here, I would love it if you could just, yeah, do that and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Great. Well, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you again for having me, and a big warm hello to everyone listening. So my name is Brooke, and I'm currently an office manager at a tech company professionally, and had a very roundabout way of finding myself there. Definitely didn't plan on that as a career path. But I also think that's kind of my favorite thing about my career, is it continues to take me places and that I just couldn't have planned for.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's the best. So when I'm not at that office, I also just consider myself a creator. So I'm a writer, I'm a poet, I'm a painter. And as you and I have discussed, a soon-to-be podcast host.
So
really outside of work, I just really identify as someone who continues to create things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is not where you've always been. This is like a recent shift for you.
Yes.
Because you and I found each other when you were in your old business.
Yes.
And even in a few short months of knowing you, things have shifted so dramatically. So can you kind of tell us what you were doing and the trail of events that have led you here? Because honestly, like, I've had this gift of being able to follow you online for a while now, and the shift into joy that I've been witnessing, like the amount of like light that has been coming from your online presence, I can tell that the shift was an aligned one. And so I would love for people to know kind of like where you were and where you are and what led you here now.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thanks,
Kate. It's true.
Yeah. Wow. I feel so seen in that. Yes. So when you and I met, I was running a business called A Simple Alternative, which was a virtual assisting company. And the funny thing about that, it actually started as a blog in kind of end of 2016, early 2017. I was in my senior year of college and was doing a lot of research about the zero waste movement and wanted to continue to bring that into the personal sphere. So I was studying a lot of the municipal and government systems and was just really curious about what does low waste living look like person to person, day to day in a household. So I started a blog about it. And then promptly afterwards, graduated from college, and that transition was so hard.
It's harder than anybody ever prepares you for.
It's amazing because I had a friend say to me, you know, a friend who's older than me, he was like, graduating from college was one of the hardest periods of my life. And I was like, no, I'll be fine. wasn't fine. Was really, really hard. And put down writing for about, I don't know, 5 or 6 months during that transition. And then one night just picked it back up again and slowly grew my blog into a business. And that shifted because I was working a day job where I was just, loved my colleagues, but was very unhappy with the work and didn't feel like it was growing my career in a direction that felt really congruent. So I was just like, man, how can I continue to create things that feel meaningful and have that be my life's work? And so A Simple Alternative grew from just personal essays and writing and blogging to offer services. So I was offering social media services and marketing services and website design, and really was trying to be the person who could help small businesses, female entrepreneurs, offload their excess work and really have someone in place who loved their business as much as they did and was there to support them in that work. And that was such a meaningful period of time because, as you know, you and I have discussed, like, women in business is hot on fire in my heart.
Yeah.
It just makes me so happy to see female entrepreneurs out there in the world doing what they love.
And we can't do it alone. Like, we need, whether it's a virtual assistant or a coach or like a mastermind community or just an accountability partner, like, none of it is meant to be done alone.
Absolutely. And I think being an entrepreneur, it's like knowing that so deeply in our bones and taking actions to make sure we don't feel alone is huge. So I was really psyched to get to be that person and was offering those services. And while I was doing that, I was also kind of taking a life sabbatical and was living alone on an island and just was kind of recalibrating to who I was post-graduation and post many transitions, and had the opportunity to do that. So I was creating this virtual business and I was living alone and just kind of resetting my heart. And then I moved back to Boulder, Colorado, which is where I went to college and live currently.
And it's so beautiful there.
It's so beautiful. Yeah, you were born here, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. So
that's
beautiful.
Right. Yeah, yes. It's a great city. So I moved back to Boulder while my business was in a really ripe place and just was continuing to grow. And I took what I thought would just be a little part-time job. Was totally in love with my business, was excited about it, had amazing clients, it was growing. And I think the important point here is that it was working. Like, it wasn't not working, it was growing, and I was loving it. Took what I thought was just going to be a little part-time job as my business continued to grow, and completely accidentally fell head over heels in love with that part-time job. And then ended up going full-time with them several months later and decided to close my business at that time. So it's such a funny, amazing path that I feel so grateful to be on. But again, couldn't have seen coming. It feels similar to me, like when you fall in love with another human being, like, and you're just like, and then one day I just met them and they were there, or we were always friends. And then I realized I was in love with them. Like, that's how this job feels to me. It's like, oh, I don't know, I just applied to this job on Indeed and somehow got it. That still blows my mind. And here I am, 6 months later, totally in love with this career change that I've taken on as an office manager. Yeah. So that's kind of where that path has led me in the past year or so.
That's so beautiful. And for you, I'm curious because I always think about all of the messages that we receive, both like as human beings and also as entrepreneurs. And if you're going to be in your business, be all the way in your business. And I actually have a different point of view, right? That like my creativity thrives when like I have something, one, that like mentally I can pay attention to that doesn't involve my whole heart and soul being invested into it. So I've had a part-time job since I started my business 5 years ago. And it has been like the greatest, just like one day a week, pop out of my own head, get out of like, you know, it's been such a life-giving experience for me. And I also think that like one of the things you said that I just like want to underline, circle, highlight, and then like blow up 100 times magnified is that you said that the business was working for you.
Yes.
And people would say, if the business was working for you, why in the world would you close it? And I'm curious from your perspective, because I've had a similar experience where I decided to close something that was fine, but wasn't really me. What led you to decide to go full time with your job? And also to, in that same decision, close the doors to that simple alternative business?
Oh, it's such an important question. So many thoughts come to mind. So I think leaving things that we still love is a very important topic to me right now. And it's something that I will be exploring when I launch my podcast. Because prior to leaving my business, I actually left a relationship with someone, a romantic relationship with someone that I had been with for almost 4 years, and still completely, completely loved this person, but knew it was time. And so what is that knowing, right? Of just knowing it's time to call it. Obviously there are tangible reasons like there were in that relationship and with my business. But there's also for me just like a deeper knowing of like, wow, the winds have changed and it's time to follow this new thing. So if I have to touch on the tangible reasons, which I'm sure would be, you know, helpful here. For me, kind of what happened was I was noticing that my business was working from a profit perspective, but it stopped working from a heart perspective.
Dang.
So,
yes.
So for me, there's multiple factors of measuring success and for me, it's important to acknowledge not just profit, but also stress level and joy and my desire to show up. And those things wax and wane. Like, I think it's important to always take that with a pinch of salt. There's good weeks, there's bad weeks.
Right.
But I think it's for me, it came time to acknowledge that while it used to be really delightful to, and I felt like I always had the energy to put more research and more interest and more backing and time and energy behind my business, it felt like that was starting to kind of hit a tipping point where I was having to do more and more of that because I was getting more and more clients, but I was falling out of love with the work itself. So I was trying to figure out like, well, if I don't want to be doing social media posts anymore for people, do I bring someone on? Do I hire someone to offload that work to and have that be a part of my company? Or do I stop offering that as a service? And if I stop offering that as a service, how do I scale so I'm making profit in a different way? And it just became like, I felt like I had, you know, I'm exaggerating, but it felt like I had 18 million of those questions that I had to figure out. And I think for me, it's like what Liz Gilbert says, or Elizabeth Gilbert, the writer, about like, find the flavor of shit sandwich you can eat.
Absolutely.
With your career, it's like, those 18 million questions are someone's shit sandwich.
Yeah.
They stopped being mine.
Oh.
And I had to honor that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And those tangibles, I think, are so much easier to, it's so much easier to be like, why did you do this? And you were like, well, you know, this and this and this. But like, really, the metric that mattered was it was time to close it.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
And it's so much harder. I mean, in anything in life, whether it's a life decision, a business decision, a relationship decision, to be able to say, in the end, I just knew that it was the right choice. Because people, I mean, I think that it's scary because we think that people will question it and people may question it. But knowing that that inner knowing is so key. So what did it look like practically to close your business? And like, what has it been like to still pursue your creativity outside of the bounds of that business structure? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Just writing it down so I can reference.
Awesome.
Yes. So with the practicals of closing, firstly, it was emotional because I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, my clients were amazing people whose businesses I care deeply about. So maybe that doesn't sound like a practical place to start, but my heart kind of leads my way with all things. So I first had to really acknowledge in myself, like, okay, this is a transition too. This is a pain point too. And not everyone's going to understand why I'm doing this. And it's not their job to understand. I have to like hold that inside myself. And so I started with the clients who I'd been working with for the shortest amount of time and had a conversation with them, just about what was going on for me. You know, I took a job, I decided to go full-time at that job. And I tried to make it as simple on myself as possible and tried to not overly explain myself, but just have really honest conversations with people who had invested their time and their energy and their money and their trust with me about the shift that my life was taking, and just was honest with them. So it started with conversations with my clients, starting with people who I'd worked with for a short period of time and then longer periods of time. And the longer clients I've been working with for a while, that was really, it was really hard to let go of. Started with conversations and then just prioritizing and finalizing projects, making sure I closed all the loops on my agreements with people. And then the announcement that I was stopping offering services.
Yeah. Well, and I love it because in my experience of you, because you and I met when you were still doing the VA work. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I remember that you had said in our first like virtual coffee date was, I like believe in doing a good job, like always bringing my best self to every project and every, you know, thing that you're doing for a client. And it sounds like you continued that value of integrity and really showing up and doing good work to the very end of every contract, the end of your business. And I think it's so important because it's not like when you quit, it's like, okay, I'm done. I'm just running away. It's like such an adult way to close a chapter.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that. I think for me, it felt so important and so distinct from like quitting a job where it's like, you can't just give your 2 weeks notice. It the timelines, I think, in entrepreneurship, especially when you're offering services, work a little bit differently. Or at least they did in my businesses where in my business where it wasn't like, okay, in 2 weeks, I'm done. I set an internal timeline, like, okay, I'd like to be done with client projects by the end of December. But there were a handful that went through to January, and that's just because the work had to get done, and to do the work in alignment with my integrity took that amount of time.
Yes.
So that was really important for me to, again, just honor the people who showed up to my business and showed up to the vision of my business the way it was when I first, you know, was planning it and announcing it and offering services. Mm-hmm. It just felt huge for me to honor their time and respect their energies as well.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. So then since then, when was it that you officially like took the, what did they say? Instead of like hanging your sign out, when did you bring it back in and close up shop?
Oh, feels
like a long time ago, but I don't know if it life feels weird, you know, like that.
Gosh, it feels like a long time ago to me too, but I think you're right. I don't think it was. I think it was probably like the first week of January that it was like, okay, you know, kind of brush the hands off. We're done here.
Yeah, moving forward. And moving forward, what is that? Because you are a creative human being. You described yourself, your title is, I am a creator.
Yes.
Which means that like, in whatever form that comes out, it has to come out or be nurtured or whatever. So what has creativity looked like since then without the bounds of a business?
Yeah, it's actually been such an exciting journey because I think my experience of my business was that I was having to be generative all of the time, whether it was generating for my own business or for my client's business.
Yeah.
And it was such a powerful muscle to get to work for a while, but also has been really fun to get to work that muscle now just for my own joy. So that has been a really cool journey. So for me, what that looks like now is for a while, it was creativity that had no end to it, there was no point of the creating other than creating just for the joy of the process. So a lot of painting, a lot of writing poetry, just, you know, kind of like Sunday evening, kind of sitting down with the watercolors and you know, getting it out of me. So no formal process. Although recently, as you know, I've been in the process of creating a podcast.
Yeah. I want to talk about that.
Yes. Oh, yes. We'll get there for sure. And so for me, that has been really cool now that it's actually not attached to a business model because, I mean, just liberation time for sure. Or it's, you know, it's been so liberating.
Yeah.
Because it's the podcast does not have to pay for my life. It doesn't have to pay my rent. It doesn't have to pay for my groceries. And so I'm getting to create from a place of pure, like liberated energy of just what is the message I'm trying to get through here and who am I speaking to? And just coming back to the why again and again and creating from that space.
What is your why around the podcast?
Oh, it goes back to that post-college time of, again, not to sound dramatic, but just feeling like my life was burning to the ground. Mm-hmm. So there was just, you know, graduated, shit hit the fan.
Yeah.
In every category, Kate, of my life.
I think it happens like that often where it's like, oh, there goes one domino and the rest. Okay.
Yep. And here we are just laying on the floor. Which is where I often found myself, which I do talk about in the podcast, the value of laying on the floor and crying it out. But the why behind that podcast for me was just, I was feeling, like it was such a potent, like while it was a devastating time, it was also a time of like, it just felt like so potent. And again, while I was in deep grief, I also felt deeply connected to myself. And it was this weird kind of walking on the knife's edge of feeling so much pain and also so much joy and self-connection that I hadn't felt in a while. And I just felt like the resources weren't out there of young women going through transition, you know, in their 20s, 30s, and talking about transition in a really real way, in a really honest way that honors the grit of it, but that also can honor the transformation that can happen through that time and not just throwing a pity party. So for me, I was interested in those resources where it's like, how can we honor and call forth the transformation and still feel the grit and the realness and how hard it is? And so I'm hoping that this podcast can serve as kind of like a springboard, using my stories as a springboard to explore transformation and being a young woman and modern day mindfulness and self-care.
Yeah.
But also not be prescriptive. Also not pretending to have all the answers, but just being really honest about transition.
Yeah, I love that. Do you have a ideal launch date for your podcast?
I do. Mm-hmm. It is May 9th, which will be my birthday.
Oh my gosh, how auspicious is that? I love it.
Yeah, thank you.
Beautiful. Oh my gosh, I love that you, it's such, I love when it just comes up and you're like, I'm going to do this on my birthday. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, thank you. You know, the inspiration came to me. I was sitting on my beautiful front porch here in Boulder, just like very mundane, right? Just like eating a sandwich on my front porch. And this is in October. And I was like, oh, I need to start a podcast. That's what needs to happen. Because I actually was working on a book originally about this period of my life. And I had written like 100 pages. And then there was just this moment where I was like, oh, this work wants to breathe out loud. And it wants to continue to be able to take data from my life as it is currently and talk out loud with other women and continue to grow and change and evolve. So that's when the idea of a podcast hit me in October. And I've really just been nose to the ground since January working on it. So yes, a May launch date.
That's beautiful. I think too that there is something to be said for, so I'm like you, I love creativity in its wildest form. And I love when there is just a little bit of structure, right? So like I interviewed a woman last year and we were talking about flow. And we were talking about how it's like a, if you have like a pond, right? And the water kind of doesn't have any bounds. It just sits there and it's a little stagnant.
Yeah.
But if you bring the edges of that body of water closer together, if you give it a little more structure, it actually starts to flow somewhere. And I feel the same way for creative projects like podcasts or community groups or books or whatever it is, where it is just enough structure to really get the waters of creativity flowing. I think it's so powerful.
Oh, I love that so much.
Yeah. And it made me rethink too, because I like, I'm one of those people who, you know, there's a bit of a rebel in me, right? That's like, I don't want to conform to your, you know, boxes or your structures or whatever. But yeah, it's, if I can use structure as a place to find flow and freedom, I'm like all for it. And I've stopped rebelling against myself in that case because I've done that before. But, I do love the idea. Like that's what the podcast, my podcast obviously, has been for me as well. It has been this place where it's like, all right, this is a platform. It has a structure. It has a rhythm. Mm-hmm. And how can I use all of that for the greater purpose, the greater why?
Yes. Oh gosh. I love that so much. I'm definitely a structure nerd.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. You're in virtual assistant work. Probably helpful.
Oh my gosh. And now I'm an office manager. Yeah. Like it just continues to show up in my life. But it's, I so agree with that. And that has been my experience as well, where it almost makes me think of that idea of like, when you show up, the work continues to show up, like just waiting around for creativity doesn't really work. But if you, you know, let's say it's writing, you write every day at 6 a.m. or you work on your podcast once a week on Sundays, it's like, the work shows up when you show up. It's like absolutely, that the structure allows for the creative process.
Yeah. And I think proves to, you know, whatever is out there, the universe, the muse, inspiration, intuition, that if you continue to show up for them, they will show up for you.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. So if you're okay with this, I'm actually kind of curious because you had mentioned how there's not a lot of resources for people, young women going through periods of deep transition, and that place that you found yourself post-graduation on the floor, all of us have been there.
yes, it's real.
When the dominoes have all fallen over, and that happens in business all the time, where you just feel like you are in a dark place. Maybe clients aren't showing up regularly. Maybe you haven't figured out how to make things click. Maybe you're like creatively stagnant, or your business is working just fine and your life is falling apart underneath, you know? What are some of the resources that you used or that you love to talk about in terms of like supporting you? Because I think that we can get stuck in the shadow.
Yes.
And if we don't reach out for some forms of support,
absolutely,
we can stay there for too long. So for yourself, what have been those resources and tools and like glimpses of light in the shadowy times?
Oh, it's such an important question. And I also loved in that layout the variety of options of suffering that can happen. So real.
And I think that like that's the thing that's important, right? Is like none of us escape that in some form. Because you're right. It is like they're formative. There's something to be found and gained from those moments, which is why we all go through them. But yeah, continue. Sorry.
Oh gosh, it's so important to me. And I feel like it's the push pull for me effect of like, there's something to be gained from those moments. Like I was talking about the transition. And also I feel like our culture kind of fetishizes like, you're going through it. You're going to grow from it. Yeah. It's happening for a reason. And I don't disagree with those. But I think they can be almost become like self-harming, because it's like we can be trying to grow an aggressive amount and end up using that as a tool to ignore our feelings.
Mm. It's almost like we tap out of it too early because we're constantly looking. I had a therapy session once where my therapist sat down and she was like, what if you like stopped looking for the silver lining for like 2 seconds? And I was like, what? Yeah. Call me out.
Totally. I think that leads us beautifully into my answer to your question, which is something that my former therapist once said to me, which is, you can trust your grief, which is a moment where I was totally called out for wanting to find the silver lining. And just was like, oh, this is just a process that needs to happen.
Yeah.
Which that became the instruction manual for my life for the, you know, the last year or so, was just trusting the grief. But then obviously tools are needed there too. So for me, the tools that helped me come back to trust in the moments where it felt unbearable or so hard or totally alone, absolutely therapy. I am so pro therapy. I think it's such an amazing resource. Meditation is a big part of my life. And also I think, there's an amazing book by Susan Piver called The Wisdom of a Broken Heart, which I think is really a stunning book. And she talks about this moment where she was going through a breakup and she was taking out the trash and she was just miserable about running all these stories about how her ex had moved on already and he was happy without her and just really hurting herself with those thoughts. And then she looked around after putting the trash in the trash can and thought, nothing's actually happening right now. And I think that is the power of meditation and mindfulness practices or breathing practices during transition, is remembering the present moment again and again and again. But even with that, like, it helps to have help. So like having a therapist or a coach or a friends or a mentor who can help you come back to whatever truth is most helpful to you.
Absolutely.
My friends are the greatest people in the world. So just having those folks around who could see me and accept me for who I am, whether it was a good day or a bad day, definitely encourage all those having a hard time to find those people. And they emerge, you know, other friendships of mine kind of fell away during that time because those weren't friendships that could hold the full complex truth.
Another part of the grieving process too.
Oh my gosh, just never ends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but then the people who really can be there for the full spectrum, you know, show up, and they are, you know, my heroes. Also, like, napping comes to mind.
Yes.
I think this is where, like, the basic 101 self-care stuff comes in. It's like, mm-hmm. during transition, it's like, for me, it was like, make sure I'm eating, make sure I'm sleeping.
Yep.
Make sure I'm drinking enough water. Like, it sounds so basic, but it's huge. Writing and walking in nature, getting sunlight, and just crying a whole damn lot and trying not to shove it in, but instead trying to let it out if it was what was there and I could do it in the moment.
That's beautiful. And I think, you know, all of those are not easy. Like, not even like the drinking water and sleeping things are easy. But so important. So mm-hmm. important. Ugh. Yes. Yeah. I love those. And we need to be talking about all of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like the trifecta of like mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, and physical health.
Yes.
All, you know, it sounds like a lot to do, but it's like, if you can just do like one a day, make sure you're drinking enough water, make sure you're getting enough sleep the next day, like, really helps.
Yeah. One of the things that I use in my work now is I have this guide that it's for free actually on my website right now, but it's a care plan for your life and business. So like,
oh my God,
you've already broken down what it is that you need. So like physically, like, are you hungry? Are you angry? Are you lonely? Are you tired? Like, who is on your list of people that you know you can go to? Because like when we're like swirling in the blackness, you know, there is, it can feel like there's no light in the dark. And so we can't, it's not like we're like, oh, I'm suffering. Who can I call? We need that list written down and ready. And we need to know what we need to ask them for. But I think it's true, like having a baseline level of, we talk a lot about self-care and we talk about it in terms of like mani-pedis and massages, which are amazing. Don't get me wrong. Yes. But the baseline level of like, how am I nourishing my body? How am I nourishing my spirit and my feelings? And I think is such an important question. And then like, even when the shit is not hitting the fan, we're cared for.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's like those feel, I work with a meditation instructor who talks about practice being sticky. It has to stick into our life. So like, what can we do to make it sticky in our lives? And I feel like any self-care practice is that way. Like, how can we make it sticky? So then when this shit hits the fan, we're still drinking enough water, eating the food we need to eat, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's a really great question of like, how do we make it sticky? My husband meditates every single morning, and his routine is, I swear to God, the only thing that keeps me meditating. but there are a lot of things that like I have learned over time that like, if I don't have, I drink out of this one cup of water every single day, all day long, because it's easy for me to drink water out of this one cup. And that's the only thing that has made that habit stick for me. And I love that idea of like, how do we make practice sticky so that it's always there and never goes away? Beautiful idea. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here. This has been I feel like I'm still digesting everything we just talked about, because it's just, whether you are in business or you're in the midst of a moment in life, or I love that idea of like knowing when something needs to close and being able to do it with intention and then opening your life up to something new. There's so many themes that like, no matter where you are in life, we've had hints of it, right? Like little hints of that journey. I always ask my guests two questions. The first of which is, who or what makes you feel your bravest?
Oh, you ask such good questions.
It's my favorite question because the answers are so beautifully varied, but all of them actually make me feel stronger when I get to ask it. It's so cool. So keep going.
My friends make me feel brave. And that is because, you know, I have a group of maybe four or five close people. And these are the people that make me feel deeply accepted for who I am. No matter what the mood is that day, they just are like, great, I love you still. Great, I love you still now again. And I'm like, oh, that's good news. Thank you. And to me, feeling like radically accepted like that, that makes me feel brave.
Oh, there's nothing you can't do.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing you can't do. Oh, that's beautiful. Beautiful. And also, your friends are the shit. That's amazing.
Oh, I know. I'm so lucky.
I wish I could hug them from here, because that's gold. Where can our beautiful humans who are listening now on the other end find you after this episode? I know that the podcast is coming out. This episode is actually going to be coming out. We're recording beforehand, obviously, because that's how it works, on April 30th. So it'll be just a few days until the podcast comes out. But other than that, where can they find you?
Fantastic. Yeah. So I'm on Instagram at brooke.lormer. So my name is just spelled BROOKELORIMER. And also my website, I'm in the process of updating it as this podcast is in the process of being recorded. So that's just going to be also brooklorimer.com. Yeah, so you can find me there. And then my podcast will be called The Radical Gentleness Podcast. And so it'll be on iTunes and wherever else you get your podcasts. So you can go to my website or you can look it up in iTunes and you can find me there as well.
So excited. May 9th. Yay.
May 9th. Yeah.
Oh, celebrating you already. Thank you again for being here and for sharing so much wisdom and for being so open and human and real with the journey. I honestly don't think that I'll add myself into that. I don't think we talk about the journey of grief and of letting go and how that has to do with our creativity, with our business journey, and with like finding the thing that lights you up right now. And all of that has been shared so beautifully in this episode. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Kate. It's really such a joy to share and such a privilege. So thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening to A Braver Brand. To find more resources, show notes, and exclusives, head to www.katekmccarthy.com. If you loved this episode, make sure that you subscribe on your favorite podcast app. And while you're at it, leave a rating and review. Our work relies on listeners like you, and we're grateful each and every time you spread the word. Whether this is your first episode or you've listened to us since day one, you know that I am all about Instagram. Come find me at Kate K. McCarthy and then reach out and say hi. I adore you already. Thank you to everyone who makes this podcast possible. A Braver Brand is produced by me and my slam bang behind the scenes team. Catch you next time.